Well, thank you. You had me in prayer. Introduction. Welcome everyone. Matter of fact, where are we at? This is called what?
Alaska Center for Spiritual Living.
Fantastic. That is so wonderful. We know where we are at. All right. Well, I want to focus on a couple of words. We're in Alaska. Do you know what the word Alaska stands for? What's the symbolism of the word Alaska?
The Great Land.
Isn't that awesome? You and I, of all the places in the world we could be today on the planet Earth, we're in the Great Land. We're also at the center. We're at the center of all the universe. You and I are at the center. For what? For spiritual living. So I want to invite you to keep this in context as we begin to have a discussion today. That we are at the great land of the center for spiritual living. Spiritual living. In fact, you know, part of spiritual living also is having time to contemplate and to read. In fact, I was at one of my favorite coffee shops the other day. And in fact, Camille's holding the presents with us right now. We happen to cross paths in there. But I want you to imagine with me that you would join me and Camille at a coffee shop. Whoa. And we, okay, okay. And we're sitting there drinking coffee, having discussion. All of a sudden, you begin to overhear conversations with somebody in the table next to us. Okay. And there's four individuals. We could tell by their conversation that these are four different professionals. One appeared to be a surgeon. One appeared to be an engineer. One a zookeeper. Okay. And one was an attorney. Politician. There's a difference, a little bit, okay? Okay. And we're hearing the conversation, and they're having the argument about what was the first profession. Don't go there. Okay. Okay. Well, the surgeon said, well, you know what? The first profession was the fact that God put Adam to sleep in anesthesia, okay, and a surgical procedure created woman. So surgery was the first profession. Okay. All right. And the zookeeper says, no. Remember, before all that happened, God created the garden with animals and et cetera. Zookeeping was the first profession. Okay. And then the engineer said, wait a minute. Before all that happened, right, there was just chaos, a void. And God designed, right, and constructed with plans the whole entire universe. Engineering was the first profession. Okay. And then the politician says, well, who do you think created the chaos? Also a child of God. So we're here to talk about today. Our topic today is spiritual response to social and personal chaos. A spiritual response to social and personal chaos. Now, I don't know about you, but I have experienced a lot of chaos in my life. And I'm also concerned about a lot of chaos that's happening on our planet Earth, even globally. How many of you could identify something that's going on globally that's concerning you? Who can share with me a topic? Oh, a lot of you. Well, shout one out.
Environmental,
absolutely. And what? And global warming.
Yes.
What's that?
Charlton,
yes.
Social
okay.
Homelessness.
Homelessness, social injustice. Okay. So a lot of things going on in our planet Earth today that really has disturbed me and apparently affects all of us. And but when we add chaos to this, okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. We add chaos to this. What does that mean? How about in terms of well, someone already mentioned even in our nation, the shootings going on seem like all the time, right? As she mentioned, South Carolina. There was something happened at an armory just very recently, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I think it was. okay? And things are happening, even in our local city, things are happening constantly.
In Anchorage.
Here in Anchorage, okay? So social change and chaos seems to be constant throughout the entire universe. Matter of fact, there's even a theory, right, in physics called the chaos theory, right? And that also applies to social chaos theory, which means everything seems to be in constant change. The only thing that seems to remain the same is change itself. Okay. How about personal chaos, personal challenges? Okay. How many of you experienced that? Okay. How many of you gotten that phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning? Now let's talk about what chaos really means. Chaos isn't simply the change, because some change we kind of expect, right? You know, newborn baby, and all the beautiful changes that child will go through, and the parent will go through. Okay, chaos too. All right. But chaos usually is something that's overwhelming and somewhat unexpected, and it creates a stage of confusion, sometimes temporary, sometimes long-term. So many of us experienced, you know, in 2001, 9/11. I recall when a friend gave me a phone call and said, "Clint, turn the TV," right? And of course, once again, a neuropath didn't have a way of understanding what was going on. Chaos, confusion. The whole country was in confusion. We couldn't even find the president, right? Chaos, confusion. And I did, Linda, call Reverend, at that time, Nancy. I called Reverend Nancy that time and said, "Reverend Nancy, we need to pray." Okay? Also, how many of you have gone through things like unexpectedly your children come up with some type of illness that you have no idea how to handle it, never experienced that in your entire life? Chaos, confusion. And fortunately, I had the tools by living and praying in this community. We knew what to do, is turn to prayer. Okay? How many of you have gone through experiences in life in which you had this wonderful a job or employment, but also because of economic or other changes, it is snatched from you? Okay? Chaos and confusion. How many of you are in a situation in which you're at work and you're being served by some type of a legal document? Could be a lawsuit, could be divorce. Right in the middle of your workplace. Chaos, confusion. And I mentioned the fact, I know, now back to being a parent, right? Now I do know, as being a parent, including with Linda, okay, part of any relationship, especially an intimate, loving relationship, you're constantly challenged with chaos and confusion. Why? Chaos, confusion comes from when you and I want to have things in orderly fashion, right? So that we are in control, okay? All right, and many of us have a challenge with that. Many, right? Because wouldn't it be nice if things just went the way I wanted to go, right? Especially when you raise your children to think on their own and they actually grow up and do that, right? Chaos and confusion. Well, this is a constant theme throughout our life. Matter of fact, it's really, you know, how life has it, and this will happen to us oftentimes. We're spiritual speakers. We're preparing for a talk, which I prepared this title. About 3 weeks ago, when Reverend Don asked me if I could be available to speak. And I thought about all the things going on in our world, you know, because it really affects my heart. I mean, I'm in deep prayer about the war in Iraq and what's happening in the Middle East and what's happening all around the world and things that are happening in our country and things that are happening with police shootings and et cetera. And so my title was originally just Spiritual Response to Social Chaos. But then, as it would have it, chaos come to visit me. Okay? It was so, I get, once again, a phone call. And it's the type of phone call, if someone should pass away or die, something like that, should ever change your life, right? Well, I received one of those type of phone calls, something like that, in which it literally, I knew from this point on, my life would forever change. And I was in a state of chaos and confusion. Matter of fact, I had an appointment, I remember very distinctly, it was around to meet someone here at the Center for Prayer. I'm coming to offer prayer service for someone at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then when this news came, it rocked my world so much, I could not figure out how to get dressed. Okay? I was just in chaos and confusion. So I called the individual. I finally realized, Sakleem, going to offer prayer, you're now staying in the need of prayer. Okay? So I called a practitioner to send out the prayer request, all the practitioners. Then I sat down and I went into deep prayer because I know what to do. Okay? When you're in the middle of chaos, confusion, go to prayer. And as it's happened time and time again, even with those, I remember a time period in my life when over 24 months, I lost over 20 close friends and individuals that grew up, that I, including my brothers and sisters, or not a sister at that time, but my parents and close relatives. So I knew that I'm in one of those time periods, my life will never be the same again, going to deep prayer. And lo and behold, in the middle of prayer, the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon me. And, we know God is, Spirit is many things to us, right? Spirit is the infinite. Therefore, it is the advisor, right? It is the power. It is the all-knower. And Spirit is the comforter. The comforter came upon me. And I simply said, thank you. Praise God. I knew you were there. I was in a state of confusion. I was wondering for a moment, right? But I knew what to do is to go to prayer. And the comforter came upon me. And I was able to get up, call that individual back, and says, you know what? I'm ready to go pray. Are you available? It was like 45 minutes from that, 4 o'clock. We met here, and we had a wonderful prayer session. Okay? So what I want to invite us to do is that when we experience times of chaos or confusion, you and I have an opportunity not only to have that centered peace for ourselves, but we also can be the center for the entire universe. I want you to imagine with me that there was a whiteboard in front of me, purely clean, right? Nothing there. And then I take a little permanent marker and I put a dot on that whiteboard. Is that whiteboard the same as it was before? No. And matter of fact, because it was permanent, ink is forever changed. So just as chaos can forever affect our lives, so that when we decide to go into divine order and to seek that peace, not only have we changed our own personal lives as a dot, but the whole scene of the universe itself has now changed. Because we believe in this philosophy, and this is really a universal philosophy, that there is a presence that we call Spirit, or by many names, we may also call God, the infinite. We believe in God, the living Spirit, almighty, that is indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. What does that self-existent cause mean? When I have a relationship with Spirit, I have a choice, and I made a choice over 25 years ago, to no longer live by circumstances, but to live spiritually. Not by the things that change, but that which remains the same, which is the very cause of all change, which is Spirit divine. So we believe in God. We honor the all face by whatever name is called. We believe that the incarnation of the Spirit is in everyone and all people. The one Spirit. Infinite. Look around this room and see the beauty of the infinite expressing itself, the you and I. We believe that we are incarnations, expressions of this one life, this one Spirit. We also believe that we being expressed of this one Spirit, it appears like we have been given the privilege or the burden, but surely the response ability, the ability to respond to changes. And Ernest Holmes says through prayer that we call treatment, right? We can temporarily co-create an experience different than what's happening in our universal circumstances. So we believe in the power of prayer. So therefore it's important to remember now. So we believe not only in an infinite presence, but believe this infinite presence also expresses itself individually through you and I and through our minds, through our thoughts. That's what we call our type of prayer we teach here at the Center of Spiritual Living. We call it spiritual mind treatment. okay? Because through our minds as human beings, we have the opportunity to co-create our experiences, to co-create our experiences. And we believe by this co-creation process that we can affect change. Now, sometimes the effect that we have on change comes at different levels that I found out. Sometimes that change is simply the fact that even though all this chaos is going around me and I can't necessarily affect this change, but I can affect my response to this change by simply having peace and comfort in the middle of it. Okay? Sometimes I can actually have effect on other individuals. We have affinity, right? We have souls that are of kind mind and kind souls. And when I change, it automatically affects someone else. We've experienced in the many areas of our life. Remember, some of us were young adults. We had friends. We're all like a little club, right? And one of them messed up and got married. And all of a sudden, within a few years, we're all married, right? That happens, right? It's the affinity process, right? All right? And so we know that. And as well as we do know that we can also, through Ernest Holmes calls an atomic change reaction, with a spiritual atomic change reaction, we can also affect the whole world. Let's talk about this for a moment. Here's what, and of course, in our movement, we call ourselves metaphysicians, right? New thought, metaphysicians. Here's what we kind of believe. We believe, what the physicists have determined, that there's only one thing happening, one substance, one consciousness. Matter of fact, we now know that when the sunlight from the very sun itself doesn't really, what the sunlight is really doing is it's riding the waves of one atom connecting another atom connecting another atom, which being the wave that connects to my eye, right? So it's really one substance. It's something in between the sunlight, the space, the so-called vacuum. It's a substance that I can, therefore I can see the sunlight. That's true for every star. Just like a radio wave. Right? We see no physical aspect of it, but yet the radio wave, right, and television waves can affect my television. Here I am sitting in Alaska, the center of the universe, all right, and communicating with someone around the entire globe. As a matter of fact, now we know throughout the universe. So we actually can think, also we believe that when we think, we affect each other. So the idea is that how do we bring about greater world peace and greater harmony, not only in our personal lives, but also the world, through ourselves. Seek ye first. You first seek the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, the politicians will be happy to know. It's a government. Okay? The kingdom of God is when I say that the kingdom, right, in that time period meant that everything that you need is provided by the kingdom, okay? Your food, your clothing, your shelter, your protection. So spiritually speaking, when we recognize God as being the infinite presence and we're at one with this thing that we call spirit, God, it provides all that we need, even beyond our understanding. So I already know that I've already lived long enough to know things did not come out the way I planned. Okay? But I can turn to the infinite planner and experience inner peace, harmony, and prosperity to meet and exceed all of my needs. That's why there are people like Abraham that had a method of listening to the infinite spirit. Right? So there's three steps I'm recommending for us. Number one, to acknowledge there is an infinite presence. Number two, to remind yourselves that you and I, we are connected at one with this infinite presence. And the way we do this is start by acknowledging, number one, and two, listening. Listen. And number three, allow spirit to inform your form, to inform you what action you should take. Okay? Your outer activity. Sometimes that form is to be still. That is the action. Okay? Sometimes the form is to just observe and be a witness. Okay? Because we know by quantum physics, by me simply witnessing, I affect the outcome. Sometimes I'm inspired to take outer words or actions. But what's really important is that you individually and collectively take time to be still and to listen so you can inform us of what to do next, right? That's called spiritual living. Be still and know. Now, what are examples of this? Abraham, as I mentioned before, grew up making idol gods in his culture. Something came to him and says, how can this clay be God when you're making it? Okay? And so Spirit informed him to leave that position, the place where he was at, and to go out to another land, to seek out another place. And we know the story, right? Okay? Now, later on, another man was out tending the sheep in what I call in a contemplative position. And all of a sudden, a burning bush appeared. He listened. And from this bush, he was told, informed, what to do. Later on, another man grew up with a sense of knowing that he had a mission. Okay? When he was 12 years old, a little smart aleck, he was in the temple teaching the elders. Okay? His parents says, come along, where you been? He said, I've been out doing what? My father's business. And then to start his ministry, he went into the desert, which means without accommodations, and he listened to get his mission. Okay? Even way before that time period, there was another man who sat under a tree. Okay? And he just sat there and he said, you know what? I'm not leaving this spot because I've been over seven, basically whatever legendary rumor it is, from 7 to 21 years, he was wandering around trying to find that, to quench that thirst. Finally, he decided to sit under a tree, and he said, I'm just going to sit here. And today we know him as Buddha. All these great world religions. Now, we know it's more historically contemporary. Gandhi. His action was sitting and praying. That's how he freed a whole nation. No military. Right? He just sat there in meditation. Transformed the whole nation. Another individual was a young preacher and his wife, okay, was called not to be a civil rights leader. He had a professional career, right? I went to school, got my DDD, right? Got my little cute wife, a little cute family. We're going to start this little cute, cute assignment, this mission, this church. And then we're going to do this, we're going to do that, because I'm probably going to be a big professor or whatever one day. But then one day, when things took over, without his planning, without his intention, he found himself in the middle of the grand civil rights movement. Okay? And he's known as Martin Luther King. But we don't know this. There was a time period when he sat at his kitchen table early in the morning before his family rose, and he was saying, like Christ did, take this cup from me. I did not sign up for this. But in the middle of his contemplation, the Spirit of the Holy Presence came upon him, and he took up the mantle, and the rest is history. Okay? So we know that there is that something. So what is the rule? It's to take time to be still and to listen. Allow Spirit to inform what your form, what your activity, what your action should be. Also, there's a parable called the parable of the growing seed. In which the parable is, it was a man who had a seed and went to go plant it. Once he planted the seed, he walked away, went about his daily business. But yet the seed began to grow, and he did not know how that happened. But then by a little tear, a little twig, and before you know it, it was full blown, and it produced fruit that he could then feed off of. So this, one of the messages to me in this parable of the growing seed is that we know what? You and I, when we sit in the silence and we listen to Spirit, we'll be blessed with a seed of an idea. Okay? We plant that in faith and confidence into the subconsciousness, the soil of our minds. and let it go and watch God work it out. And you're able to take that experience and feed from it. So I do know every experience I've had in life that sent me into chaos ended up being a process in which I became a blessing to other people. I was able to feed off of myself and to bless others. So here's what I'm going to invite us to do here at the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living, is to be clearly aware that regardless of what's happening in your life, whether it's overwhelming blessings or challenges, we call crisis, right? Both a blessing and a challenge. There is an opportunity. The opportunity is for you to be still and know. And to remember, there's only one love. Regardless of what's going on in your life, there is that one love, and there's that one power that is life eternal. And when we go there, we realize that God will begin to live not only around us and as us, but also through us. To be a blessing not only into our own lives, but to be a light unto all the world. So I'd like you to remember, because you are a child of the Most High God, you and I, we have the right to expect and to experience good and more good. And that's a choice by divine right. So remember, because we are expressions of God, children of the Most High, that we are love, we are power, we are life divine. Let us prepare for prayer.